Praise the Lord. I hope that you can make that. I want to invite you to read in your Bibles with me in Matthew chapter 4, first 11 verses, a passage that will be familiar to many of you. Let me read verse 31 of chapter 3, or verse 17, pardon me. Jesus is baptized, and it says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Verse 1 of chapter 4. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' And he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' And then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and give him your God, and him only you shall serve.' And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Amen. In this passage, you see something that you probably don't want to see. I certainly don't want to see. It's Jesus being baptized, this high point in his ministry, goes into the water, dove comes down, Holy Spirit in the form of the dove, and the voice comes down that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then immediately he is driven into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, again, spiritual mountain, spiritual valley. It oftentimes goes that way. You would think that at the point of baptism that it's onward and upward from there. But what we find is that while Jesus is baptized, while his ministry begins, so does his conflict accelerated with Satan. And that is true of my life, and that is true of your life. Christianity is in many ways a conflict, and it is a conflict with a real being named Satan or the devil, which is mentioned 70 times at least in the Bible. Now, sometimes people get a little squeamish about that in the 21st century, because in poll after poll, amazingly, large amounts of people believe in God, lesser amounts of people believe in a real devil. And people will say things like, "I realize that the devil was mentioned quite a lot in the Bible, but you have to understand those were early people, those were people without our education, they did not know how to speak about mental illness. They did not fully comprehend where all diseases came from. And so they attributed things like mental illness and diseases to demonic possession and to the work of the devil. But now we know better." But I think the Bible would say to you and I, if you think that Adolf Hitler and every other Holocaust, if you think that human slavery, if you think that sex trafficking, if you think that your addiction, if you think these things are just the working of environments and bad raising, you are being naive as well. That there is, the Bible would say, a power, an educated power, wisdom behind what we see happening. There is a tempter behind our temptation. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is something beyond what you can see that we're wrestling, and the Bible identifies that as a devil and as demons. And so we are in a spiritual warfare. Now, everything that you and I face that is negative is not of the devil. It's not. The TV goes out in the middle of the game. That's not Satan. That's your satellite. If you drop your iPhone, you're clumsy. That's not the devil. If your team loses, that could be poor play. That's not the devil. If you didn't get into the college you wanted, that's bad grades. It's probably not the devil. If you are being hassled at your job, that's not because you're under attack. You're probably underperforming, and that's why you got trouble with your boss. A lot of our health problems is not because Satan has attacked us. It's because we haven't worked out in 30 years and when we're eating like a dog and our body is sick and tired of it. But having said that, there is an enemy. There is something beyond flesh and blood. That's Ephesians chapter 6. There is a force out there that will come in and will tempt us. As Satan was tempted, as Christ was tempted, so we can't expect to be tempted. And so we have this passage in the Bible of the temptation of Jesus Christ. And I just want to bring your attention to some things in this passage, and I know time is fleeting, but I want to tell you, I want to show you from this passage what you need to say to Satan when he talks to you. Because here is Satan coming, and he is tempting, he is talking to Jesus Christ, and Jesus is warring against him in a certain way that you and I need to be aware of as followers of Jesus Christ. And notice the first thing that we need to say to Satan when he comes to talk to us. The first thing that we need to say that you'll see in this passage is we need to tell him that what he's offering is not all there is to life. We need to understand that what he's trying to show us is not all there is to living. Satan comes and he says, Jesus, you've been fasting for 40 days. He knows when to come. He didn't come the first day he was in the wilderness. He came the 40th day. And he comes to him in the wilderness and he says, why don't you just feed yourself? Why don't you just turn this bread or these stones into bread? You're hungry, Jesus. Why don't you just do a miracle and feed yourself? Now, Jesus could have done that. He could have said, Satan, what kind of bread do you want? You want rye? You want sourdough? You want pumpernickel? What kind of bread do you want? But he looks at him and says, man shall not live by bread alone, oh Satan. In other words, there's more to life than bread, Satan. Yeah, I'm hungry. You know I'm hungry. You know I've been out here 40 days. I hadn't escaped your attention. You know I'm in a bad place, sort of. I'm physically weak. I'd like to eat. And here you come along and you're offering me something. But the Lord will feed me. There's more to life than bread, oh Satan. There's things like being faithful to God. There's things like depending on his word. There's things like saying no to you. There's more to life than what you're offering me. And when Satan comes into our life, when temptation comes into our life, we need to look at Satan. We need to say, listen, there's more to life than what you're trying to give me right now. You need to look at him and say, listen, you know I'm lonely. You know it's not good for a man to be alone. God created woman, gave woman to man and man to woman. You know loneliness is hard. And you've seen me sitting here Friday night after Friday night. You know this is hard for me. That's why you're here. But there's more to life than partying. There's more to life than drinking. There's more to life than the nightlife that you're trying to tempt me with right now. There's just more to life than what you're trying to offer me. I know you're saying, listen, you're lonely, you're depressed. Why don't you go down? Your friends are down there at the bar tonight. Nothing's going to happen. I know that's what you're saying to me, but listen, there's more to life than what's down at the bar. Sometimes you just need to look at Satan and say, listen, you see me. You understand my psychology. You know I got a little codependence going on. You know that I have always cared about what people think about me. You know that from the time I was a kid, I've always been heavily influenced by how people judge me. I care about how I look. I care about what they think about me. If I think people don't like me, it bothers me. You know that, Satan. You're not dumb when it comes to me. But there's more to life, Satan, than people's approval of me. And I know that you're trying to get me into this temptation because you're trying to work this so that I'll give in, I'll compromise, I'll ignore what's going on because I don't want them to not like me. You see my weakness, Satan, but there's more to life than them liking me. There's the approval of God, and that's what I'm going after. Sometimes you got to look at Satan and say, listen, you know I worry about money. You see how many times I check my bank statement in the course of a week. I check my credit card balance 3 times a day. You know that. You see that. You know how worried I am about money. You know how concerned I am that I might not make it to the end of my life with anything left. You know I don't want to live with my daughter-in-law. You understand all that. You see what's going on. But Satan, there's more to life than money. God provides. There's things like trust in the Lord. There's things like being faithful to the one who was faithful to me on the cross. I know you're trying to get me into some situations here because you know my worry about finances, but there's more to life than finances. You're going to have to look at Satan when he comes and you're going to have to say, there's more to life than bread. There's more to life than sex. There's more to life than money. There's more to life than approval. There's more to life than getting what I want in the moment. There's things like pleasing God and being faithful and knowing that He loves me and serving Him in spite of anything that could come my way. There's things like that, Satan. And then you need to look at Satan and you need to tell him, I see the trap. I see the trap. There's more to life than what you're offering me. And I see the bait. I see the trap you're trying to weave in my life here. It's interesting that Satan gives a second and third temptation. He says, Jesus, why don't you just throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and the angels will catch you. I know that. The Bible says so. And it'll be a great act, Jesus. I mean, a great miracle. People remember that till the day they die. They'll serve you because they'll see your power. They'll see your standing with the Father. Why don't you just throw yourself off the pinnacle, Satan, Jesus. And then Jesus deflects that. And he says, well, listen, Jesus. See all these kingdoms? See all these rulers? I control them all. It's all mine. They do what I want them to do. And if you'll just bow down and worship me, Jesus, you know what I'll do? You can have it all. I'll walk away from the world. You want the world? This is your way to get it. Just bow down and worship me, and you'll have everything that you want. Now, those are interesting temptations. You can understand how Jesus might be tempted to prove his power by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. But the third temptation is an interesting one because to be a temptation, it has to be appealing to you. If it isn't appealing to you, it's not a temptation. Some of you ain't never going to be tempted to wear a thong down Myrtle Beach. It's not appealing to you. You look in the mirror and you say, it ain't never going to work. It's not going to work. Some of you are not going to be tempted in a lot of different ways. There's no enticement there to you. There's no bait. No bait. So why would Jesus be enticed or tempted to fall down and worship Satan? What enticement would there be for Jesus in that way? How could that even be categorized as a temptation if Jesus was not at some level enticed to do it? I think about the only way you could see that as a temptation is to say what Jesus wanted was to free the world from the power of Satan. Bible says on the cross, he not only died for our sins, he not only died to redeem us, but he broke the power of Satan at the cross. He wants to free us from his power. He wants to deliver the world. What Jesus would love to do is for every person here, every person who lives now, to renounce Satan and to be free from his influence in their lives. So Satan says, you can have that, Jesus. You don't have to go to the cross to do it. You don't have to work to do it. It's very easy. You can free the world from my dominion if you'll simply kneel down and worship me in this moment. Jesus says, no, no. The Lord has ordained a different way to free the world. He has ordained that I go to the cross. He has ordained that I die for the sins of the world. He has ordained that I make a public spectacle of you on the cross. He has ordained that your power be broken there, not that your power be broken here. And I see the trap in what you're trying to do, O Satan. Now you and I need to see that. When Satan comes and he offers us something, when he offers us a shortcut, when he says, listen, if you'll compromise your virtue, you can get that man. When he comes to you and he says, if you'll get mad and angry, if you'll play a little tough, you can get what you want. When he comes to you and he says, listen, you know, happiness is tough. Instead of living right and doing right and treating people right and doing all the hard work to be a person at peace, why don't you just take the pill to do the same thing? You'll be soaring if you just take the pill. You need to look at him and say, I see the trap. You want to enslave me. You came to steal, kill, and destroy, O Satan. I know you're offering me a shortcut, but it's not a shortcut. It's the way off the cliff. It looks like the shortcut, but I'm going to get down that road, and I'm going off the cliff, and I'll be enslaved to you. I see the trap you're setting for me, Satan. You're not fooling me. So when Satan comes and he talks to you again, you need to say to him, there's more to life than what you're trying to offer me. And I see the trap that you're trying to lay for me. And thirdly, you need to say this to him. You need to say, I know you'll be back. But when you come back, the answer is going to be the same. The Bible says in verse 11 that Satan left him. Luke tells this story in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. Luke includes the phrase, and Satan left him for a season. It's for a season. The battle with Satan is never completely won. It's never completely there. There have been times in my life when I've had a situation or a temptation, and I've said, I got the nail in that coffin, man. I'll never struggle with that again. And I've always been wrong. It always comes back. Satan is a villain, and he's a very good villain. And if you watch movies, you know that good villains don't stop fighting till they're dead. You watch a Western, you watch a mystery, the good villains, the hero can insult them, the hero can embarrass the villain, the hero can destroy the villain or push back against the villain, but the villain's going to come back till he's dead, and Satan is going to come back and come back and come back until he is thrown in the lake of fire, the Bible says, with his demons at the end of time. He's coming back. He's coming back. So you need to tell him, I know you'll be back. I know you'll be back. I know that you don't think that I can stay clean. I know you don't think that I can stay off pornography. I know you've been watching me. You don't think I can do it. You know I can't control my anger indefinitely. You understand that. You know that I'm a warrior, and sooner or later, I'm going to take it in my hands again. You know that I always obsess about the past, and you have freed, and Jesus Christ has freed me, and you know that. And you know that my sins are thrown in the sea of his forgetfulness. And you know that I know that. But you also know I'll go fishing. Amen. You think I will. So you'll come on back. You come on back, and what you're going to find is that the answer is still the same. It's coming back, I know. but greater is he that is in me than you, O Satan. Greater is he that is in me than you. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I will not know, for God will give me victory if onward I shall go, Satan. You need to tell him, you'll be back. The answer will be the same. You come back, but I'll still be standing. The answer will still be no. The answer will still be, oh, Satan, there's more to life than what you're offering me, and I see the trap. The beauty of Scripture is this. Beauty of Scripture is this. Satan cannot make you do anything you don't want to do. He can make you think he can do something that you can't stop. He can bring pressure on you, and you may think you can't say no to him, but the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there's no temptation that has taken man, that which is common to man, but God will provide a way of escape. He will. Colossians 2:15 says that the power of Satan was broken at the cross. And Ephesians 6:11 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but he also says that victory is ours. And you go through there, God has given us everything that we need to have victory against Satan. He can convince, he can try to convince, but he cannot overwhelm us. It is impossible for him to overwhelm us. The temptation may seem like it is impossible to say no to, but the Bible says it is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, some of you have been listening to Satan, and you need to start talking to him now. You've been listening. He's been leading you astray. He's been maybe bringing some temptation into your life. He's been showing you a quicker way to get there than what God would want you to get. He's been showing you a different way. He's been bringing situations into your life that have threatened to overwhelm you. Now you need to start talking to him. And you need to tell him there's more to life. I see the trap. The answer is no. I'm going God's way. I trust in the Lord. He's given me the word. I'm going to trust the word. I'm going to trust the one who redeemed my soul. I'm going to trust the one who died for me. Satan, you didn't die for me. You want to destroy me. You didn't send your son for me. Jesus Christ died for me. He loves me. You aim to destroy me. I'm going with the one who loves me. And you can go. You come back. The answer is still going to be the same. Stand with me in this moment. I want you to close.